What is the introduction to the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven. What does this mean? With these words, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father, and that we are His true children, so that with all boldness and confidence we may ask Him as dear children ask their dear Father. In the name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. Today we look at the introduction to the Lord's Prayer. We have learned from the commandments what we must do. We have learned from the Apostles' Creed what we must believe. And now in the Lord's Prayer follows the third part, how we ought to pray. We cannot perfectly keep the Ten Commandments, even after our conversion. The three enemies, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh, resist our efforts to keep God's commandments. Therefore, we must pray that God would give, preserve, and increase faith in us and the fulfillment of these Ten Commandments. And Jesus himself has both taught us the way and the words to pray to God our Father. And so today, I'd like to preach to you on the sermon, on the theme, Why Pray? Why pray? Well, we have four reasons. First, because God commands it. Second, because God has attached great promises to prayer. Third, because God has given us the very words and that He desires us to pray. And finally, because of our great distress and need. In the second commandment, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, we have learned that we must use God's name rightly. Not only is misuse of God's name forbidden, but also God enjoins us to use His name rightly, that is, in prayer and proper teaching. This commandment teaches us, therefore, that we shouldn't think that it doesn't matter if we pray. Because first of all, God asks us, He demands that we pray. And what this commandment teaches us is to call upon God in every need. He hasn't just left this to our choice whether we will pray, He has commanded it. God does not desire us to remain silent or to not bring our desires before Him. But in fact, here He actually commands us to bring our needs, our desires, and especially to pray for us to keep the commandments and to give to us the gifts, give and sustain us in the gifts that He has promised us in the Apostles' Creed. We should not despise prayer, therefore, but count on prayer. And we shouldn't consider it a doubtful thing. We shouldn't say to God or to ourselves or to others, I'm not holy or worthy enough, because God has commanded it. We rest our prayer, first of all, on God's commandment, not on our own person, our holiness, our worthiness, or anything like that. As we're going to talk about in a moment, we have a great need, and therefore we should pray. When we think about all the saints that have ever lived, whether we're talking Enoch in the Old Testament, Moses, Joshua, Paul, Peter, David, all of these saints prayed first and foremost, not because of their holiness or their relationship with God that they had created, but because God spoke to them through His word. And in that word, he told them to pray. And so they, in their lives, spoke to God. They prayed and brought their needs and petitions before Him. And He listened. Because this is the second point. Prayer has a great promise that God has attached to it. We should be encouraged and moved to pray because God has added a promise. We spoke that promise in our psalm this morning, from Psalm 50, where the psalmist says, speaking as God, God says this, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. These promises that God has made, this promise and many others across the scriptures, tell us and promise us that God does listen. When we bring to him our needs, we bring to him our sorrows, our griefs, our thanksgivings. All of these things, God listens and he acts. He saves us. He preserves us in the faith. He suffers alongside us. And as we meditate upon this, this second reason to pray is a great comfort to us. That we're not praying just casting, it's not like putting a message in a bottle and throwing it and hoping that maybe God will hear it. That's not how the scripture teaches us to consider prayer. We are to consider prayer that God hears all of our prayers. And in Christ Jesus, he has answered them already. As St. Paul puts it, in Jesus Christ, God's answer is always yes. And not only has God promised to hear our prayers, he has also given us the very form and words to pray. Imagine you are trying to get in touch with someone. Maybe it's your doctor. You need a prescription change or something like that. How do you get in touch with your doctor to tell them your needs? Do you make a phone call? Do you fill out a form on their website? Do you put a slip? Do you go to the office and fill out a form and give it to the secretary? How do you get in touch with them? It's an important question. And it's a question God has not left us to ponder about how we are to get in touch with God. Whether we're supposed to make a phone call, go to the physical address, or fill out a form online. God has given us the very words to pray. Not only does prayer have God's command and promise, but it also has his very words. He places them upon our lips so that we know how and what to pray. If we relied solely on our prayers, on our inventions and words, we would be stuck wondering, are these the things God really wants me to ask for? Is this how God wants me to address him? Will he ever answer it? It'd be like sending messages in a bottle to your doctor and hoping that maybe one of them will get to him and maybe I'll get that prescription filled. But here in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us the very words we are to pray. Consider, for example, in Luke 11, when the disciples come to him and say, Jesus, please teach us to pray. And Jesus teaches them and gives them the Lord's Prayer. And then he says, he has these couple comparisons, situations where someone asks for something, right? Does a father get asked by his child for a fish and he gives him a scorpion? Does the child ask for scrambled eggs and he gives him a viper? No, that's not how we operate. Even wicked men would not give their child a viper or a scorpion, but would feed them and clothe them. How much more does your heavenly Father also give you exactly what you need? And in this Lord's Prayer, he teaches us the very things that we are to ask for. And finally, dear Christians, we pray because of our great distress. Whether we are currently experiencing distress in many different ways, from our sinful flesh, from the power of death upon our bodies, from the world and its pressures, or from Satan himself, whatever, or if we do not feel those pressures and distresses, this Lord's Prayer teaches us to see and consider the distress that ought to drive and compel us to pray. Because in this Lord's Prayer, we learn God's desires. He desires to give us keeping of his commandments when we pray, Hallowed be thy name. He wants us to hallow his name through pure living and through pure doctrine. He wants his kingdom to come to us and to expand through the preaching of the word, through baptism, absolution, and the supper. He wants his will to be completed. That is, he wants and desires Satan to be brought to nothing, our sinful nature to be destroyed, death to be defeated, and finally, he desires us to dwell with him forever in his kingdom. He desires to give us daily bread. He desires not only to forgive our sins, but also that forgiveness would be a marker for how we live our lives as Christians. He desires us to not give in to temptation, but to defend us against temptation and attacks from Satan, our sinful flesh, and the world. Finally, he desires to bring us at last through the valley through this valley of tears to him, to himself, to dwell with him in heaven, and finally to raise us on the last day and bring us into the new creation. Those are the things that God desires to give us, and those are the things that currently we lack in many and various ways. And we feel that distress acutely. We feel that as Paul puts it, that there is something wrong in my flesh. We feel the sinful nature at work in us. We see in various ways other problems, issues, things that keep us up at night. We see things wrong with our world, with people we know, with our government, and so on and so forth. We see all these things that are broken. And out of that distress, we are led to prayer. We are led to see that all of these things are things that God has given us, whether that is our daily bread. We might be fretting about whether and how the check is going to make it to the end of the month, but we also are doing that likely with a roof over our heads, with food in our refrigerator. The Lord's Prayer teaches us to see that and to thank God that even though we might be concerned about how that check is going to stretch, that He has provided so many things for us already. We might be concerned about our eternal salvation. And in the third petition, Thy will be done, we learn and are reminded and strengthened in the fact that we know God's will is our salvation. We might be scared about this veil of tears, terrified about our physical health, how this all might come to an end. And we learn in this Lord's Prayer that our Lord desires to bring us through this valley of sorrows, that there in fact will be a valley of sorrows we go through in this life. But what is at the end of it? Christ, who has already gone through this veil of tears when He suffered and died. And through His suffering and death, He has defeated death. And just as He is raised and lives to all eternity, so too shall you. So, dear Christians, this is your encouragement, that we may learn to value prayer as something that is great and precious, and always to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, that He has given us this beautiful prayer, and promises to hear us whenever we pray. In the name of Jesus, Amen.